You're listening to Invited In with Christine Boyle, where disability and faith meet. Here's your host, Christine Boyle. You are invited in.
Hey guys, well, thank you so much for being with me today. I am so pumped because I have my dear friend Josh Wilson in Courtney's studio today, which is exciting. Josh is incredible. You know his music. I know you know his music. And Josh is someone that we just randomly got to meet. Gosh, I'm going to say it was probably 7 years ago, I'm thinking. We met Josh at a week of Young Life camp. But let me back up real quick and say, Josh is from Texas. He has had multiple Billboard hits, songs like Dream Small, Revolutionary, I Refuse, Savior Please. These are all songs that if you listen to any Christian radio station, you have heard, you recognize, you know. And one of the things I love most about Josh is just over the couple years of getting to know him, we had the opportunity to invite him to just play a bigger role in our family's life. And so I'm going to get to share with you a little bit about that. But one of the most significant things was he was actually at Courtney's funeral and got to sing and play at her funeral, which was such a beautiful gift to us. And she just adored him so, and his family. And so it was a way to just honor her as well. So Josh, thank you for being here. I'm so excited to have you.
Yeah,
it's such an honor.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to this, and it's good to chat with you and see you on camera, and yes. Thanks to everybody tuning in. It's going to be a fun time.
Oh, it is. It is. Okay, so let me share how we got to meet. So the funny thing about Young Life, and I don't even know if you've picked up on this yet, Josh, but a lot of Young Life people don't listen to Christian music. Like, I remember being at our all-staff conference, and Phil Wickham's on stage and he's like, you guys probably don't know who I am. And I about died. Yeah. So, you know, it's just kind of the nature of Young Life. So I remember we get to Young Life camp. We're checking into our little cottage. And my husband, so Dan, he sees on the door next to ours, Josh Wilson. And we're like, oh my gosh, like Josh Wilson, the singer from the radio. And I hope this isn't offensive, but the guy walking us to our cabin was like, I don't know. And then we find out it is him. And Dan about died, because no joke, your Christmas song, Jesus is Alive, and you know this about Dan. This is, I mean, Dan's number one favorite song. We have been fans for a long time. And so, yes, we were a little starstruck to be sharing a side-by-side cottage with you and Becca and Asher seven years ago, whatever that was. But the cool thing was you were at Young Life Camp. I think it was 2 years in a row you came. I know it was at least two years. And you were just there leading the kids in crazy fun Young Life songs. And I know you did the outdoor concert and all of that. And so you were there with our friends with disabilities, and I know people with disabilities have, just impacted you and your wife, Becca and Asher. And so I just wanted to just talk to you a little bit about that to start off with, because obviously this is Invited In, where disability and faith meet. And, my goal is always, I want people to hear, even if disability isn't a part of their journey, personally, I want them to just hear from someone like you who, you know, you don't necessarily have someone living in your household with a disability, but yet this is a population you have grown to love and care about. And so, so tell us a little bit about, you know, your experience with Young Life and working with adults and people with disabilities and just your love for them that I know you have.
Yeah. Well, that, first of all, that's so funny about you guys seeing my name on the cabin, and hilarious that he didn't know me, and not surprising at all. I've been doing this a long time, and it's interesting. Almost, I mean, I can guarantee every time I play a concert, there's at least five people who come up to me and say, I didn't know you sang this song and this song and this song. It's because my music's been played on the radio for years, but nobody knows my name. And that's okay, because I don't want to be famous. I just live a normal life. I'm not famous, and that's the way I want it. But yeah, to your point, Young Life crowd doesn't necessarily listen to Christian music. So they haven't, they also haven't heard my songs. It's like, I don't know his name. I don't know his songs. He's just doing rec with us. Anyway. Yeah. So it's interesting because my foray into Young Life was through my friends with disabilities because, both my wife, Becca, and I have had a heart for people with disabilities for as long as we both can remember. As children, mm-hmm. we had friends. I remember one of my friend Jonathan had a sister, Mary Claire. She had Down syndrome and had just so much fun getting to know her. And we played mm-hmm. with her and she was just one of my, she felt like a little sister to me because she was a bit younger, but, she was really special to me. And I remember another man at my church, Roger, who I just, he was just one of the most loving, happy guys I'd ever met. And, as I grew into an adult, went to college and started, you know, playing my music. So that's, I do that for a living. I write, I record, and I tour. That's how I spend my time. And, my wife, Becca, who, you know, is the best person. She's amazing. Just amazing. She started looking for places to volunteer here in Nashville. And actually, the way we found out about Young Life was from moving into this house that I'm in right now. We were pulling out the for sale sign, literally pulling it out in our yard. And all of a sudden, we hear this voice from behind us say, hello. And we turn around and it's this, well, at the time, he must have been 25, man named Jay. With disabilities, and we call him the neighborhood mayor because anytime someone moves in, he's meeting them, he's saying hello, aww. He gets to know everybody.
Yes.
He rides his bike around all day every day, just talking to people, hanging out. He's very social. So we're That's pulling awesome. Out the for sale sign. He's the first person we met in this neighborhood. And Jay has autism and cerebral palsy and was a part of Young Life Capernaum, which we had never heard of. We'd heard of Young Life, but not Capernaum. And he as we got to know him, he told us about this club that he went to on, I forget what night. I think it was Friday nights.
Okay.
It varies. But Becca was like, I want to go with you sometime. And so she went with him. And then she came back and she says, you have got to check out this Capernaum thing. It is wild. It's so much fun. There's dinner, there's dancing, there's crazy skits. There's usually some sort of food put on the leaders' faces and bodies, like eggs and whipped cream,
yes.
and, you know, as part of silly games.
Yep.
So Becca's husband, me, Josh, I am an introvert and I like things to be calm and chill. And big groups aren't really my thing. And so I went with her and I was a little overwhelmed because yes. it was just loud and fun and party and music and dancing and I can't dance. And so anyway, I went and I was like, this is amazing. These people are so sweet. I don't think I'm going to go back. just because it was so much.
I love it.
It was mostly the dancing. Christine, I am so self-conscious when I dance. And anyway.
You sound like Dan. He's
going.
The same way.
Yeah. So she kept going week after week. And, you know, I'd pop in. But again, it was stimulating for me. It was a lot of – it was just a lot. Mostly the dancing. And so anyway, So through Jay, we met our neighbor, Suzanne Williams, who is – I forget her exact position, but she's over a lot of states of Young Life.
Oh, wow. She's our vice president now. She's the big wig.
Okay.
She's my boss.
Okay.
Gotcha. I didn't know you lived by her. That's awesome.
Suzanne, if you're watching this, you should give Christine a raise.
Number one employee.
There you go. Yes.
Oh,
give
that's
her that,
awesome.
That bonus of the Jelly of the Month Club. Yeah. So that's Suzanne and Christopher. They're our neighbors. And we had some mutual friends. So we met them. And she told us about Young Life Capernaum Camp. And she was like, Josh, you should go. You know, they're always looking for musicians to go do that. Mm-hmm. You should go do it. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay. So You know, we actually did 3 years of that, and I'm thinking that the first year we were there, you weren't. So I think you may have come our second year, and then we did those 2 years together.
Got it.
And so I went and did Young Love Camp, and it was so fun and so exhausting because it was just constant motion, the pool, the zip line, the horses, the, you know, and I'm leading music two or three times a day. I'm teaching a songwriting class, and all the meal times are wild and crazy. And it was so fun. And I don't know that I've ever been that tired in my life.
Right.
It was 10 days. It was 10 straight days, 2 weeks of camp. And as we were going home, it was kind of, the same thing as Capernaum, just the club. I was like, Becca, that was great. I don't know if I can do that again. And so then they called me the next year. I was like, yeah, let's do it again. And then they called me the next year. And so I did it. It was just
so
much fun. And, you know, to use kind of churchy language for just a second, you know, there's the scripture where Paul talks about the veil being really thin between heaven and earth. Mm-hmm. And I feel like at Capernaum Camp is some of the thinnest, meaning I got a glimpse into heaven in a way that I don't when I'm not there. And it really changed my life and my heart, and made me realize this is a community that I want to learn from and get to know and just serve as much as I can. And so we came back home and we got more regularly involved in Capernaum. But then Becca, my wife, when people would age out of Capernaum, they didn't really have anywhere similar to go. So she, being the amazing human she is, started a thing called The Ascent, which is kind of like Capernaum, but for adults.
Yes.
So we do similar things, but more adult-oriented. So there's some community service that we try and do and try and help our neighbors. And we let them help us lead worship. And it's very it's like grown-up Capernaum, kind of.
Yeah.
So we do that every 2 weeks. So I'm not sure when you're airing this, but we have The Ascent this Sunday. And so I'll lead music.
Awesome.
Becca often teaches the lesson. We do dinner. My son Asher will help me lead music. And so since then, actually, Becca has become Jay, our neighbor. She's become his conservator. His mom passed away last summer or summer and a half, year and a half ago. And so Jay, Becca and Suzanne and another neighbor, the three of us, all three couples, have become what we call Team Jay. And we're just kind of here for him. And they're his legal conservators, so they can do legal stuff. But I'm just on Team Jay, so I talk to him. He calls me just about every day. We see him a couple times a week. And so that's kind of our closest ties with a friend with disability. So, yeah, he's not in our house, and he's not an adopted child, but he's just the next step under that.
Yes.
So we're blessed to know Jay. He's a real smart dude. He often helps me with my if I have any tech questions or needs. He's very brilliant with computers and technology. So sometimes
That's
I'll
amazing.
Call him, and he and I have a lot in common because of my music stuff. We'll talk tech a lot. Becca's just so kind with him, and we've learned a lot from him. So that's the long story long of how I got where I am.
Yeah, that's incredible. And you know, it's amazing because my first guest I had on works in disability ministry, and he actually started a guardianship program at the church he used to do ministry at, and just really bringing to light to his congregation, like what you just described, where, you know, these people with disabilities, as they get older, that person that's been caring for them can, you know, pass away or not be capable anymore. And so, I mean, what an amazing thing that you guys are doing to just, you know, help care for him, make decisions for him, and make sure he's good. And I love that you call it Team J. That's awesome. And just, wow, that's incredible. That's really incredible. So, you know, as far as like, you know, just working with people with disabilities, ministering to them, what has been, you know, just out of curiosity, what has been like maybe the most impactful from a discipleship perspective, whether it was at camp or whether it's doing, you know, the adult ministry that you guys are doing. Mm-hmm. I feel like as a mom, I feel like, you know, just discipleship of our friends with disability is something that is a lot of times overlooked. And so I know that you guys are probably walking alongside a lot of these friends and just, I would love a word of encouragement or just a thought you have or story just about that, if you have one.
Sure. Well, you know, it goes both ways. I think, I hope and pray they learn from us, and we certainly learn from our friends. So right now at the Ascent, we're going through this, basically like wrap the Bible, like RAP wrap. And so it's awesome. Really funny to see us try and do these wraps. And you know, there's like, we're going through the alphabet. And so I can't remember specifically what letter is tied to what verse, but it's really fun because there'll be a letter and it's the letter's J, and then like the verse will be Jesus, you know, loves the little children or something like that. And then we'll wrap it and we'll have them come up and rap with us. And what's cool is we use music and rhythm to get those truths into all of us, because I think music does that. Music can, for folks who are nonverbal, it can sort of break barriers that, I don't know, it can just get places in our hearts and our spirits that words don't always. Mm. And especially, you know, if I'm up there trying to give some boring Bible study and I'm not doing a great job, sometimes music will sort of bypass all of that and get into our hearts in a different way. So that's been really neat to see. You know, I talk about the veil being thin and learning from my friends with disabilities. That's a place, I just love spending time with Jay and with my friends at the Ascent, with, you know, Clay and Andrew and Christy and all my friends, because, I was just on tour with another Christian artist named Brandon Heath, and he has a song called Jesus in Disguise. And it's a quote from Mother Teresa. They were asking her, why do you do this work, you know, and helping those who are the sickest and poorest. And she said, it's because I want to greet people at the door as they come in, because those are the people, that's Jesus in disguise. It's these people who we think, you know, I don't know, they often get overlooked, but these are the first people we should be learning from, because these are, this is Jesus in disguise, as Mother Teresa would say. And so the discipleship has come that the other way for me. I think I sometimes go into those situations thinking, what can I offer? And of course I want to serve as much as I can, but also leaving going, I think I probably got more out of that than
of course
they did from me.
Yes. What's it been like for Asher? Just having this exposure and these opportunities.
So, Asher, I'm biased. He's such a neat kid. But him growing up around all this, it's just normal. These are just his friends. He doesn't talk to them differently. He doesn't treat them differently. He's got friends in his class with disabilities, and his teacher, we're so proud. She talks about how kind and patient he is. Aww. And just, it's not, none of it's weird or different. It's just, that's my friend, you know, insert name here, and my class, and they're my friend. And so Capernaum and Young Life and the Ascent and Jay, all of these things, it's just, that's just his buds, just part of life. And so it's, you know, Becca and I had some of that sort of exposure to friends with disabilities growing up, but not as much as Asher. And it's I also feel like society, it's gotten more normalized and more accepted. People treat others with more kindness. It's just not as sort of tucked away as it used to be. I'm really happy for our kids that get to grow up. I know we have a lot of work to do, but they get to grow up. You know, if you compare it to 30 years ago, it's just so much better than it was. Asher's reaping those benefits.
That's awesome. I remember the first year I met him, like, he's at a camp with 400 kids with disabilities. And I mean, he was just unfazed by it. I mean, he did so well. And, you know, it's just, it's incredible when kids can be invited in, or, you know, in your case, this is your son who just, you know, went to camp with you. And so by default, he's just kind of there, but then this becomes part of his story. And, you know, I know, you know, Autumn, my niece, and just like the impact Courtney had on her, like she met Christ because of Courtney, you know, it's like, so it's just always just blows me away. Like when you get those opportunities to invite kids without disabilities in, and like when they are invited in, like, man, they usually do really well and it changes them, you know, like you said. So
yeah.
Well, I love what you guys are doing. That's so awesome. And, you know, I would say like just one of the biggest disability conferences in the country is coming up in May. And last year when I was there, there are so many ministries that have started like Ascent simply because our friends age out of Capernaum. And it's really cool to see people just saying there's this need and we're going to start something. Yep. And so I just, I love what you guys are doing, and man, just appreciate it a ton, especially with, you know, Kevin's almost 21. So, you know, those are the things I have to start thinking about too. So yeah.
Because but isn't it 22? Isn't 22 sort of the
22.
Yep.
It is. Yeah.
Well, talk to Becca. She can tell you how to start something. Not that you don't know how. You're a mover and shaker.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it's encouraging though. And it just, again, shows like we have to have a plan for our friends when they do age out. So thank you for what you guys are doing. I mean, it's amazing. And I know it's so needed. It's so needed. So I always say like age 22 is like the worst age because, you know, you're losing school. You're losing a lot of these programs you've been in as a kid, and the parents grieve it too. Yeah. So it's, I know it's ministry to the families as well. So, yeah. So thank you for that. Yeah. I was thinking about, just because I love Becca so much, I was thinking about a funny story I wanted to share about Young Life Camp with her. So I don't know, you probably maybe don't know this well because you were up on stage, but we would always dip Court in her wheelchair, and we do the same thing with Kev, like almost where like she's flat on her back in her wheelchair. And we went up on stage, I think, at one point. And I had Court and I'm dipping her, and Becca tells me this story, how this woman was standing next to her, you know, in the audience, and was like, is it okay what that lady's doing to that kid? And Becca in her sweet little voice was like, well, that's her mom. And I just about died. Like she was like, just this lady, I guess, was like, oh my gosh, because you know we would get so Courtney. Wild. yes. So I love that. I tell that story to people all the time. But I know
Becca
that
when she does like the sweet and sassy voice, she gets Well, that's her mom.
Yes, exactly. I love that. I absolutely love that. Yes. So there's a really amazing song that you wrote. It's still not released, right? Or is it?
Christina, I'm sad to say, I haven't even recorded it yet. I got to get that thing recorded for one boring reason or another. It hasn't made it into the world, but I've played it for y'all more times than I've played it for anyone else.
So you
sure make me feel good about it.
Oh, we love it. We love it. And so this song that Josh is going to sing for us, it's called Wonderfully Made. And kind of like he said, it's a song about his friends with disabilities. And it was so impactful to us that there was just a couple times, I think it was Court's birthday. She was spending her birthday in the hospital the one time. There was another occasion that you sang it to her. So two times. And then at her funeral, you sang it as well. And I know you said at her funeral, so sweet. You said like, this has kind of become Courtney's song, which I love. And we have it handwritten by you hanging in our hallway with our handprints from the day that she passed away. Yeah. And so it's just a really precious song to us. And I think it just so beautifully speaks to God's heart for people with disabilities. And so I think you were planning on sharing that with us today.
Yeah, so I'm going to take out my headphone and let me see.
Okay.
Okay. Thumbs up. Can you hear me okay? Okay, here we go. This is Wonderfully Made. Mm-hmm.
Don't you forget it. Your miracle. Made in God's image. You are a masterpiece. You shine like the star. And you were made to be exactly who you are. Every time I look at you, I see the love of God inside your eyes. I'm doing what you do, yeah, don't believe the world and all its lies. You are wonderfully made, you are wonderfully made by God. Out of the way that you light up the room when you smile like you do. You're wonderfully made, don't you dare be afraid to be who you are. Cause who you are is nothing less than wonderfully made. Cause I love you just the way you are. God doesn't make mistakes. You are a living, breathing work of art. You wonderfully made. You are wonderfully made by God. I love the way that you light up the room. You smile like you do. You're wonderfully made. Don't you dare be afraid.
Thank you. All right. I think you're still muted.
I think I'm unmuted now. Yes. Okay. Yay. That was awesome. Oh, I love that song. I think you should convince Suzanne to like buy the rights to it, and it should be the Young Life Capernaum theme song. Just my opinion. But it's perfect. It's so perfect.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put that in my journal, in my to-do list. Suzanne... wonderfully.
Yes. Man. Honestly.
I think there's a good place we could use that.
Yes. Honestly, it's perfect. It's so perfect. Oh, thank you so much for playing that. I appreciate it. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, you
so
bet.
Good. Well, I want to kind of transition over to just kind of some of the things, you know, I follow you closely on Facebook and Instagram and just always so drawn into the things you're sharing that are going on in your life. And it's probably maybe been in the last, I don't know, I don't even want to guess. I'll let you say how long it's been since you kind of started sharing about, you know, your history with alcoholism and just, you know, recovering mm-hmm. from alcoholism. And I remember seeing the posts when I was kind of like watching and like, wow. Like you're a little shocked because you just had no idea. And yet I just was so moved by like, this has to be so scary to put out there and share that with people. And so, and you know, this is really what, it's funny because, you know, I know you love people with disabilities and I know your heart, but it was really, you know, the mental health struggles that you share about so transparently. And then also this part of your story that made me just one day go, oh my gosh, I'm going to text Josh and see if he can come on, because I just feel like we need to have more conversations like this. And it just makes me just admire you so much for your courage to share. So, so yeah, why don't you just kind of tell us maybe some of the things you've been sharing on social media and what made you share and what people's responses have been?
Yeah. Well, so for a long time, I've been pretty open about my struggles with anxiety and panic attacks. And, you know, that's been since I was a kid, I've struggled with anxiety. And into my adulthood, that sort of turned into panic attacks. And there's just been certain times when it's been worse than others. And thankfully, I've had help in those kinds of things with just good counseling and medication and friends and support in those areas. But the thing I was not really public about was occasionally, at least at first, I started to realize when I would drink, at first I drank in moderation, just, you know, I drink with friends, just kind of like a normal person. Yeah. And, I realized that the alcohol made me feel less anxious. And so I thought, this is amazing. This is like, I found a cure for my anxiety. And so every time I would drink, I would start looking forward to it. And then I would start drinking a little bit more because you can't quite get the same relaxation. And then eventually, over a few years, like it kind of gets to the point where you're like, I think I'm drinking too much. I think I'm drinking too often. I better stop. And I'd try to stop and I couldn't because I was addicted to it. And then that's sort of the time when I realized like, I need some help. I can't do this without some help. And that was 2017. And I had tried, honestly, for a couple years on and off. I'd go a few weeks or a few months and then just come back and be like, I can't quit drinking because it makes my anxiety feel like it's less. Mm-hmm. And I'm so anxious that I kept coming back to it. Of course, over time, I didn't know this, but my anxiety's going up. And anyway, in 2017, I finally was like, I got to tell somebody. And so I called my friend James and said, hey, man, I'm drinking too much and I can't stop. I need some help. I need to tell my wife. I was hiding my problem from her. And I told him because I wasn't quite ready to tell Becca, but I was like, I got to tell somebody so that you can keep me accountable to tell her. Like in the next month, I need to tell her. And eventually I did. And I went to my counselor and he recommended or referred me to an addiction therapist who I met with for a year. And that was in 2017. And I've been sober from alcohol for almost 7 years now.
Wow.
And so, you know, you're right. I didn't talk publicly about it until just last year. For a couple reasons. One, I wasn't sure I could stay quit because I was addicted. It was like, I'm going to do my best to stop, but I don't want to tell anybody about this in case it doesn't stick. So I wanted to get a few years under my belt. And also, I've heard it said that we should speak from our scars and not our open wounds. You don't want to bleed all over people. So I wanted to wait until I had some time and experience and wisdom in sobriety before I started talking. But then I had waited so long that I was like, well, now it's kind of weird that I've waited so long to talk about it. And I think this is honestly just the enemy trying to get me to not talk about it. Because I think when I talk about it, you asked about the response. Nobody, zero people have said, I can't believe you did that, or you should be ashamed of yourselves. If anyone says something, it's usually, thank you for your honesty. Thank you for your vulnerability. Mm-hmm. Or I struggle with that too. I'm so glad you said something. And that was the lie that I was believing is if I'm honest about this, people are going to think less of me. And nobody thinks less of you for being honest. They usually go, wow, me too. Like, let's help each other in this, whatever it is. And so you're right. On my socials, I've been talking about anxiety and depression, both of which I've dealt with, and addiction and recovery, both of which I've dealt with. And now I'm getting ready to release a bunch of songs about that. I've got a project called Mental Help that's coming out in May or June. It's got 11 songs on it. The first song is out. It's called It Gets Better. The second song is called Jesus and Therapy. That comes out on April 19th. And so tons of music coming out about this. And my MO these days is just to tell the truth wherever I am.
Yeah.
It's just a lot easier. It's a lot more freeing and a lot more fun to just be honest. Not that I was lying, but I was only showing people like this much of myself, And now I'm just like, look, I'm messed up. That's why I need Jesus. I'm not perfect. Neither are you. Like, what are we going to do about it? Like, let's start there rather than what we sometimes do in church is try and act like I'm a Christian. So I guess I'm supposed to have it all together. And that's literally the opposite. I'm a Christian because I don't. And because I need Jesus to hold me together.
Yes. I love that. And I'm sure it's, I mean, even for me, it was like just this breath of fresh air to just hear you share. And for someone who is walking through the same things as you, I mean, I can only imagine it's just got to feel so comforting to know they're not alone and that there's hope and that there's help. And And I'm so glad you've gotten that feedback. I've wondered how have people responded to him in this? And I'm so thankful to hear that nobody has, you know, been jerky or condescending to you or anything. I mean, that's so good. And I'm sure that just spurs you on to keep doing it then, to keep sharing. I mean, that's so good. So the mental health piece, that's more of kind of the ongoing then for you, just kind of always working through those things.
Yeah. It kind of comes and goes in seasons. I'm in a good spot right now with, I do a lot of different things to take care of my mental health. I exercise every day. I worked out this morning. And that's great for my body, but it's mostly for my mental health. Getting myself moving has been amazing. Yep. Trying to eat healthy, counseling when I need it. I take anxiety medication every day, which helps with both that and depression. So it kind of keeps me leveled out and staying plugged into my church and close to my friends. It's just kind of all of it. And I'm thankful to be in a good season. I actually, when I played for Court's Funeral, that was my first stop on a trip of 6,000 miles. I was headed to California and I drove from here to you by myself from there playing shows all the way to California. And in the middle of that trip, I had a mental breakdown. I was alone. Oh. It was winter. And I was having panic attacks and I called Becca and, you know, I don't know, Christine, I don't know if you've ever, been given the right Bible verse at the wrong time. Mm. You know, thankfully when I called back and said, I can't finish this, she's very sensitive to that and was like, you know what? I'm coming to you. So she flew to where I was. She drove with me to two shows. And when she had to go home, I had another friend hop in the car. He came to two shows and then he had to fly home. I had another friend come in. It was a relay race to get me back home. And I got back home. Wow. I took the time off that I needed. I got the help that I needed and sort of recentered and resettled. And since then, that was, let's see, was that March, I believe, of what? It's 2021.
It is. Yes. Yeah. 2022 then, if it was around the time of Court's Funeral.
2022.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was the beginning of that journey. Mm-hmm. Since May of 22, I've been on a lot steadier ground and I'm so thankful.
So good.
And now I'm just trying to write songs about it, encourage other people. That's what It Gets Better is about. Not that we're guaranteed that things are going to be like better or easy in this life, but for those of us who follow Jesus, it's in this life or the next. Mm-hmm. Eventually, all sad things come untrue. It's going to get better.
Yes.
And we have hope in the meantime, no matter what happens, even if you have a mental breakdown in Montana, it's going to get better.
Yes. You know, I'm guessing you've experienced just kind of like what you said about the whole alcoholism and what are people going to think or say. But when it comes to mental health, I know that, you know, as a country, we're moving forward trying to break down that stigma. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts about that? Do you feel like what your experiences have been? I mean, do you feel like the greatest thing you can do is just share, or what have you felt about the stigma? Do you still run into people who are like, you shouldn't be sharing that? Like it's a weird topic. And Yep. People still look at it as really, really private. And I just am curious how you've processed that.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a Drew Holcomb song. It's called Find Your People. And that's what I feel like it is. It's my story is mine, and it's precious to me. And when I share it, if it's not for you, that's okay. It may not be for you, but I know it's for some people.
Yes.
And I've had enough of the, I struggle with that too, to know that I'm not alone and I'm not weird. And, regarding mental health, I think if you have ever taken an Advil or if you wear glasses or if you do anything to help this broken body, our brain's just part of that whole system.
Yes.
And sometimes it just doesn't work properly. And medication, I'm not recommending, this is not medical advice, but it saved my life. I'm on an SSRI, anxiety medication. I mean, I'm so thankful for it. And it's not weird. And I'm thankful that the stigma's coming down. And I do think for Christians, it gets a little, can get a little weird. You know, you don't have enough faith or those kinds of statements. And I'm like, I think, and there's a lot of theologians who would agree that Jesus had a panic attack in the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before he was crucified. He was sweating blood.
Yes.
That's not a sin. That's a feeling.
It is.
And he's legitimately worried. He's about to lose his life. He's saying, God, Father, are you sure? He was in such turmoil. So it's not weird if God become flesh experiences those things. Not only do we have a savior who's there when we pray to him, but he knows how we feel. And I'm just doing my part. My friend Jason Gray says, sometimes you have to give people permission to misunderstand you. And you know what?
Wow.
My story is not for everybody. And I try and keep that in mind. And it's, I know it's for some people, and you just got to find your people.
Yeah. Wow. That's a great quote from Jason Gray. I love that. That's, wow. So on my second podcast, I had shared, about, well, no, maybe it was my first one. I can't remember, but either way, I always say that disability has been part of my journey since, you know, Courtney was born. And I knew God was calling me to share about my dad. Now, my dad is paranoid schizophrenic, has been since I was a year old. It's impacted every aspect of my life. Like, I'm his legal guardian. He's like my third special needs child, right? In some ways. And yet we're super tight, like we're so close. But this has been part of my story. And Josh, like when I was recording that first podcast, I mean, and people who know me and spend time with me know about my dad. It's not like it was a secret, but I was raised with it being a secret. It was just say your dad's retired. Just say that's why he doesn't work, you know, things like that. And so to publicly, in a very public way, on a podcast, to verbalize my dad is schizophrenic, he has been disabled almost my entire life, was like, whew, like it was hard. And not because, but it, and again, like, I love that you said, like, this is like wearing glasses. This is like taking an Advil. But yet it's more work to get that out there. My hope and my prayer is the more I say that, the more I share that, that I'm helping to, you know, break down those stigmas, because it is so stigmatizing. It really is. Yeah. So mental health is a huge part of my life too, with my dad, and it's, just defined so much of our family and again, who I am, you know, on a daily basis. But I definitely can understand, the stigma that's there in our culture and how we have to be advocates and work hard to create change too, you know, like, it's not just affecting us. It's not just your story or my story. It's creating a way for others to share their stories too and find help. And, you know, it's huge. It's absolutely
huge.
And if we're
honest about those things, you know, it helps in a few ways. The first is that if you're honest about the problem, you can find better solutions.
Yes.
You know, with whatever you're dealing with or your loved ones, if you can say out loud, here's what's happening, it normalizes it. You can find better solutions because you know the problem. It yes. also gives you grace and empathy for the person struggling with that thing. When you yes. think, how could they have treated me that way? Mm. Well, mm-hmm. you know, at the end of the day, they probably shouldn't have said or done that thing, but it gives you a little bit of understanding of like, oh, they're in a pit of depression right now. What they said to or about me, they don't really mean that. That's coming from a place yes. of pain and fear and hurt.
Yes.
So I think it's just helpful to talk about that stuff to destigmatize it and to get the help we need and just be honest about it.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Well, and it makes me think about, you know, since this podcast is really meant to be about disability and who Jesus is in the midst of disability, you know, I hosted a conference in this last summer for moms of kids with disabilities and chronic illness, and we used a counseling center to host it at, and this counselor kind of did a little quick take for us. And I basically asked her, I said, so do we just all need counseling, all of us moms? And she was like, yes, you all do. And really it's because the things we've seen, the things we've experienced, and even the quote you just gave of Jason Gray, being misunderstood, like that's such a part of the advocacy and the care and the things that you're walking through as a caregiver yeah. and as a parent, and your life just is so different than other people's. So I know you're not a special needs parent, but you are Team J. So you have a little glimpse into loving someone and loving a lot of people with disabilities. But I guess, you know, if you had a word of encouragement for someone who thinks they can keep it all together, because here's the challenge, I would say, with people who are caregivers, you have to be on constantly. You know, so many of my friends and I talk about you don't have time to cope because, yeah. you know, the next day's here and you're back on and you're caregiving. And so, again, I know this is a little tricky to probably enter into, but I mean, I'm just wondering if you have a word of encouragement of how important is this? Like, how important mm-hmm. of a priority does counseling help having yeah. those people around you, community? I mean, like, yeah. would you be dead if you didn't have that? Like, would you be here? Would Josh Wilson be here if you didn't have those things in your life? I mean,
it's hard to say. I think regarding the alcohol, you know, I quit 7 years ago. Had I continued at the pace I was, I'd be sick. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So, you know, and you're right. I can't speak from experience on being a caregiver. But I can speak just as a human and community is none of us are meant to do this alone. And I've seen some parents of some of our friends with disabilities lean into their friends and community. And I've seen others close off and try and do it all themselves. And that second mm-hmm. one doesn't work. And that doesn't yeah. work no matter what your situation is. And I'm tempted to do that as an introvert, as a problem solver, mm-hmm. as an Enneagram 5. I want to think my way through something and fix it
yes.
all.
Yes.
And that doesn't work. And mm-hmm. I've had to teach myself to open up. And I know counseling is expensive. Like, that's not a realistic avenue for everybody. And it takes time that you may not have. But calling or texting a friend is important. And getting together with friends when you can is important. And I understand that it's hard for anyone, but certainly folks who are caring for those with disabilities, you have very limited time and resources. There's a free app, and I'm not connected to this, is no sponsorship or anything, but it's called the 1 Minute Pause.
Okay.
That I found to be really helpful. I did it this morning. There's like a 1, 5, and 10 minute. It's literally like put in your headphones or just put it on your phone and it helps you recenter. It's like a quick prayer meditation thing.
Okay.
And you may not have money for counseling and you may not have 30 minutes to hang with a friend, but I bet you have 1 minute.
Yes.
And it helps you recenter on essentially like handing everything to Jesus. I remember the first time I did it, I just wept. It was 1 minute long and I'm like crying and I'm like, what's going on? And that helps me recenter. It's called 1 minute pause.
Okay. Okay.
So there's a little practical thing you could look at, but, we need each other. We need Jesus. And Christine, I admire you, and Dan, and Kev, and just, your kindness and resilience and faith and hope. And, I don't know. We're this the world's a tough place to be. And
it is.
Y'all make it a brighter place.
And, well, thanks. I appreciate that. Well, and I think too, my understanding, just as we've gone through like grief counseling, you know, for us, it's been a lot of trial and error. I would say that there's been, you know, a counselor we went to tried once and said, well, that didn't feel right. But I also through doing a lot of research, I didn't even realize this, but it seems like there's a lot of online counseling, which, to me is like when you know, just like how we love that virtual visits with a physician came to be during COVID, right? Like, that's an option too. And, you know, so I think it's an important conversation to have. The last question I just want to ask you is, as far as mental health goes, what have you seen what do you feel like the church is doing well? And what do you feel like the church needs to do better at when it comes to mental health?
Wow. Well, I travel around and see a lot of different churches, and every church is different, but I feel like on the whole, the church is doing a good job of talking about these things and addressing them and being honest, you know, in a way that they didn't used to. So that's great. Maybe where some churches might not be doing as well is like leaning into the wisdom and advice of professionals in the field. Mm. I think sometimes we think everything is a spiritual matter to be prayed away. And I think prayer is very important. And I think it's all of this, like spirituality is interwoven with mental health. But sometimes seeing a certified therapist or a psychiatrist or a doctor, people who specialize in these things, again, I mean, it can change everything. So sometimes I feel our church had they called a digital trauma specialist come in. We were doing a digital fast from all our devices for like 40 days. And he had a expert in the field come in and speak before we did it. And I just really appreciated that because these people dedicate their lives to trying to help people. And, I think our church leaders are brilliant on the things of theology and the Lord. And, I think they could do a better job partnering with folks who know more of the ins and outs of our neurology and our brains and emotions and things like that. That'd be what I say.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. You kind of want to understand the root of why is my body responding this way? Why is my brain responding this way? I mean, there's science to it, right? Yeah. So I think that's great feedback. Yeah. Well, that is so encouraging to just hear your story, and thank you for your transparency, your authenticity. I know it's impacted me, and I know it's impacted others. And again, I'm so grateful that everyone's been supportive of you and caring toward you as you've made the choice to be transparent about those things. It's so needed. It's so needed. So I definitely appreciate it a ton, and just so thankful that you chose to do that. And So I think you were going to play a couple little snippets of some songs for us.
Yeah, and I thought I would do a little smattering, a little medley of
perfect.
Some of my songs.
Okay, all right. So I'm going to mute again.
What's that?
I'm going to mute again.
Oh, good idea. Okay.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, so
all
I'll
right.
I'll just play a few songs. From, you know, I've been doing this for almost 20 years, so I'll just play a verse and a chorus of a few things. And if you like it, you can check out my music at joshwilsonmusic.com. Since we were talking about mental health, let's start with things that I'm afraid of.
when I am shaking and my heart's pounding. You always take me, make me lie down in peaceful fields where I can clear my head. 'Cause I get so overcome with anxiety. There's an enemy living inside of me, like a mocker yelling out, telling lies to me. And I don't feel brave, but I don't have to be, 'cause I walk through the valley of shadows. It scared me half to death. You're with me everywhere I go, so I won't be the kid. My fears would surely kill me if I didn't know the truth. Things that I'm afraid of are afraid of you. This one's called It Gets Better. I could talk to my future self. What would I say? 'Cause I need some help. Don't be afraid, just get through today. The maker of heaven and earth is making a way. Take a deep breath, take the next step. Oh, this is not how it ends. This isn't forever. Hold on, it gets better, better, better. Alright, this one's called Revolutionary. Maybe you're not like me. Maybe we don't agree. Maybe that doesn't mean we gotta be enemies. Maybe we just get brave, take a big leap of faith, call a truce, me and you can find a better way. Let's take some time, open our eyes, look in this end. Yeah. And we're gonna find we're more alike than we are different. Yeah. And this one's for Dan. Noel, Noel, Jesus is alive. Emmanuel, hope is tonight. So go and tell the world that death has died. 'Cause Jesus is alive. Yeah, Jesus is alive. Merry Christmas in March.
That's awesome. Oh, thanks, Josh. That was so great. Oh, Dan's going to be so pumped. I forgot to tell you, he wanted a shout out. So he's going to be so excited. Oh, that's awesome. Well, can I pray for you?
Yes.
Is that okay? Okay. All right. Yes. Jesus, thank you for my friend Josh and Becca and Asher, Lord. What a gift to just get to know them over the years, Lord. And I just thank you for Josh for just the way that he is serving you in such a variety of ways, Lord, from just caring and loving people with disabilities in his community, Lord, to just serving all of us with his music. And now, Lord, just testifying to your goodness in his life and the help and the hope that you bring when we're struggling, Lord. And so I thank you for his example. And for his love for you, Jesus. And just thank you for this time that we had today. I pray that people listening would just be encouraged, Lord, and see that there's hope and help that comes from you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, Josh.
Thanks,
so grateful to be with you. Take care. And guys, thanks for joining us today. Again, it's joshwilsonmusic.com. Correct. I want to make
sure.
Okay.
That's
so
right.
Check out Josh Wilson.
Socials. Yep. Send me. Do you see this bubble?
That's awesome. I know. It's like, how did you do that? I'm not good at tech, so I don't have a clue about stuff like that.
I don't
but
know.
I'm getting there. But that was cool.
Like picked up on it. Yeah, find me on my social.
That was awesome.
Come say hey on Instagram.
Yes, follow Josh. He's amazing. And I'm sure you can download his music from all sorts of places, but loved all of that. And thank you so much. It was such a joy and gift to get to be with you today. And thanks,
you
guys,
as well.
For listening.
Tell Dan and Kevin, thanks. Hey. And
I will.
Everybody.
I will. All right. Take care, guys.
All right.
Thank you for listening to Invited In with Christine Boyle. Follow and subscribe. And please leave a review or rating. Visit ChristineBoyle.com to have Christine speak at your next event.